I declare the meeting open at 5:30 p.m. We welcome councillors, management, members of the public in attendance to the City of Melbourne. We respectfully acknowledge that we are meeting on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation. This place is now known by the name of Melbourne. Melbourne is one of the great multicultural cities of the world and a significant meeting place. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place and a location for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. I take this opportunity to notify members of the public that the meeting is being recorded and will be made available on the City of Melbourne website before close of business tomorrow. The unconfirmed minutes of this meeting will also be available from the City of Melbourne's website as soon as practicable. Should there be any queries relating to the conduct of the meeting, the documentation or the submission process, please speak with a member of the Council business team after the meeting. May I ask that all mobile phones be turned to silent for the duration of the meeting. The agenda comprises four reports from management and one item of general business. No apologies have been received. Could I read a condolence statement for Julianne Bell? Julianne Bell passed away on the 27th of January 2017. Julianne was well known to us, as she is to many councillors and members of Parliament, through her work as a fierce protector of Victoria's parks, public lands and cultural heritage. She founded the Protectors of Public Lands Victoria in 2003 and co-founded the Royal Park Protection Group in 1996. Both had the overreaching and overarching mission to keep public lands in public hands. It didn't matter if it was one tree or an entire park that was threatened by a bike path, a road or a freeway, Julianne would be there to generate as much attention and local action as possible. For Royal Park, we recognise Julianne's efforts to have Walmsley House and the Australian Native Garden listed on the State Heritage Register and by the National Trust. Julianne loved Melbourne Parks dearly, but Royal Park especially so. We honour her and remember her activism and her life's work today. I advise members of the committee and the public that where the committee makes a decision on the basis of fewer than six members voting in favour, the decision may be referred by a councillor to council for decision. If any councillor has either a direct or indirect interest, as defined in the Local Government Act 1989, in relation to a matter to be considered by committee, please disclose the type and the nature of the interest prior to consideration of the item. Could I call on a councillor to move a resolution to adopt the minutes of open meeting number 5, held on Tuesday the 7th of February? Deputy Lord Mayor, seconded. Councillor Kafer. I'll put the motion to the vote. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Are there any matters arising from the minutes of the previous meeting? As at 3 p.m. today, the following submissions were received in accordance with the Council's Conduct of Meetings Local Law 2010. In relation to Agenda Item 6.1, Melbourne Planning Scheme Amendments C276 and C280, South Bank and Fisherman's Bend Heritage, requests to speak from Tony Penner from the South Bank Residents Association, Robin Groh, the President of Art Deco and Modernism Society of Australia, and Tristan Davies, Melbourne Heritage Action, and Janet Belitho. We have items of correspondence from Tony Penner, Robin Groh, and Janet Belitho. In relation to Agenda Item 7.1, Notice of Motion from Councillor Leppett, Crown Development, requests to speak from Peter Renner, the Chairman of the Freshwater Committee of Management, and Tony Penner, the South Bank Residents Association, and items of correspondence from Peter Renner, Michael Smolders, and Tony Penner. I advise submitters that you are invited to address the committee at the time the relevant agenda item is considered. You have 3 minutes to address the committee. We stick to that 3 minute time limit, and to assist you, the counter on the wall behind me beeps at the completion of 2 minutes, signalling you have 1 minute remaining to conclude your address. That final beep sounds to signal the time allocated to you has finished. In accordance with the Council resolution of the 26th of March 2013, we provide a 15 minute period at the beginning and the end of each meeting for members of the public to ask questions. Questions should not be greater than 90 seconds in duration, and this is not the time to make submissions to agenda items. Submitters are invited to address the committee at the time the relevant agenda item is considered. Would anyone like to ask us a question? Yes, thank you. Tony.
Just a quick one. The White Night was on a Saturday night, and what a tremendous event it was. It was superb. Once again, you know, this council being a significant sponsor of that have pulled off a great event, and hopefully we'll continue to see that into the future. My question was specifically from my experiences on that night. Swanson Street and Elizabeth Street particularly, for several hours, every single rubbish bin was overflowing with rubbish for a good duration of the night. Early on in the night, I asked this council if there's anything more that council can do for big events like this with trying to keep those rubbish bins clean. Yep. I did raise this about 2 years ago with engineering services with regard to Moomba and the Yarra River, where for hours on end every single rubbish bin was overflowing. So I'm just wondering if there's more that this council can do with regard to the rubbish bins.
Drives me mad too, Tony. I think in when we do the reconciliation and evaluation of White Knight, which we do under the aegis of the state government, one of the things that we can look at is waste management, and it may well be that it's almost impossible to collect, as you would know, because of the crowds, but therefore that may mean the placement of a larger number of temporary waste facilities, and if they're overflowing, obviously we fell short in that, but we'll certainly take that on notice as one of the things that we'll consider for not just White Knight. I think you're right, for all of these big festivals where there are large crowds, where it makes movement of vehicles impossible, how do we keep, you know, the streets from looking like they're rubbish strewn? And New Year's Eve is another good example of it, but we can build that into the evaluation of White Knight. Thank you. Any further questions for us? In that case, I'll ask Councillor Leppett to assume the role of chair in relation to the planning portfolio, and in particular his portfolio responsibility of heritage within the planning portfolio.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. There is one report from management for consideration under the planning portfolio, and that is agenda item 6.1, Melbourne Planning Scheme Amendment C276 and C280, South Bank and Fisherman's Bend Heritage. Councillor Oak.
I need to declare a conflict, or conflicting duties. Melbourne University is my employer, and they have an interest in one of the properties in this report.
And I have to declare the same. After some digging today, we've come to that conclusion. So, yes, I have to excuse myself as well.
Thank you, councillors. I'll just wait for Councillor Rees to leave. Would the remaining councillors like a presentation on the report before us? No? In that case, I will first call on Tony Penner, who's requested the opportunity to address the committee. Tony, you've got up to 3 minutes.
Lord Mayor, councillors, thank you for the opportunity to talk on this. It's long overdue, in my opinion. There's some buildings that we've got on here that should have been captured quite some time ago before the sites were sold. I think it's a disappointment that this council wasn't able to do that at that time in a timely manner. Nevertheless, we are here today and we're trying to protect some of these sites. We're concerned that we've been given a priority to those four sites in Fisherman's Bend and in the Fisherman's Bend and South Bank Review, C276 and C280. There's not a lot of heritage left in South Bank, let alone Melbourne, so anything that we can protect is valuable to us. But in particular, could I have the slide up there that I've asked? Naturally, we support the recommendation. I did ask in my submission for a slide to go up here. No, we haven't got it. Page 7 of the report. If you have it in front of you, we can revert to the manual system for as long as my clock doesn't stop on me. It was page 7 of the report. Okay, on there there's a map. You can see a little picture of a map up there. One of our concerns is the site at 107 to 127 Queensbridge Street. Talking about Queensbridge Street, I noticed through the entirety of the report that Queensbridge Street is spelt incorrectly. It is actually one word, not two. But everywhere in the report, it's two words. And it's not the first time I've seen Queensbridge Street like that in the reports in this council. I'm not sure whether that's historical or not. There we go, we've got the map. So my concern is that with that site and whether or not it is actually going to be protected. We understand it's recently sold to developers. However, as you can see up there, 107 to 127 is not captured in the map. It's outside the little square that's showing us the space that this is referring to. Yet it refers to that in the report. So I would certainly like some clarification on that, because I'm not sure as to whether it will be missed. But look, in closing, you know, we'd like to acknowledge the good work done with regard to heritage overlays, despite it could have been possibly done earlier, and protecting the heritage that we've got left in South Bank. However, we still believe that there more needs to be done on this.
Thank you, Tony. Can we just have some clarification on the point that's been raised? Thank you.
That's all right. I can share.
The four sites that are identified in this report were prioritised as part of this review, and there's a broader Fisherman's Bend and South Bank study which is being undertaken at the moment. Previously, this the 107 Queensbridge Street was graded as D1 in the 1997 study, but it will be picked up in the review which is being undertaken, and will be getting a draft report very shortly that we'll be reporting back to Council by the end of this year.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr Pennon? No, thank you, Tony. You can take a seat. I call on Robin Groh to address the committee for up to 3 minutes.
Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity of speaking. I wish to make a submission in two capacities. Firstly, as President of the Art Deco and Modernism Society of Australia, a Melbourne-based international organisation with over 700 members, and secondly, as a resident of South Bank, an historian and a tour leader around the City of Melbourne. And I wish to express my support of Agenda 6.1, Amendment C276 and 280, South Bank. Protecting culturally significant heritage sites is a major activity of both our local society and also the International Coalition of Art Deco Societies, which I'm Vice President of. And it's a major concern to members of our society, many of whom reside in the City of Melbourne and wish to see... We've been concerned for some time about the lack of protection accorded by the planning scheme to the four South Bank sites that are covered by these amendments and many others. We're pleased to see the following buildings being given some priority in the South Bank Heritage Review. I think the following points are relevant. The South Melbourne Heritage Study identified these sites as worthy of heritage protection in 1997. It's disappointing that 20 years on, Council is finally considering including them in the planning scheme, but better late than never. It's further disappointing that Amendments C280 and C276 may come too late to save two of the buildings. If adopted, South Bank residents and heritage groups would have to rely on the development's plan for 45 Sturt Street and 63 City Road to not proceed, or for the permits to expire before the effect of the amendment came into play and the buildings may be served. Hopefully someone at Council could persuade the developers to review their designs and at least incorporate the facades into the new designs. One of them, the former GP Motors, is a significant remnant of the motor industry in this area. So whilst we support Amendment C276 to introduce heritage overlays on an interim basis for the Castlemaine Brewery site and part of 45 Sturt Street, is again disappointing that Council is not seeking interim protection for all four sites. We acknowledge the recent efforts to preserve a number of buildings in South Bank, perhaps a little too late. We can only point out the numerous heritage buildings that have been demolished in recent years. However, we look forward to a more strenuous effort being made regarding the remaining heritage stock in South Bank and to a revised heritage study with adequate controls over the remaining heritage buildings in the near future. So thank you.
Thank you, Robin. Any questions for Mr. Groh? No, thank you, Robin. You can take a seat. I call on Tristan Davies to address the committee.
Thank you, Lord Mayor and Councillors, for this opportunity. MHA are obviously very pleased to see this review finally happen in South Bank and this first part of it proceed with, you know, urgency, as these four sites are unprotected and in danger of development. So we hope you vote for this entirety of this amendment. Well, it's a shame that it comes a little too late to protect 35 City Road and 63 City Road and half of the VCA campus, which is about to be demolished. We'd hope that council does proceed with the full amendment so that those heritage overlays can not only be in effect in case those developments fall back and then, you know, they're protected in the future, but I also think it would be good for City of Melbourne's potential lobbying behind the scenes to keep those facades, as has actually happened at 71 City Road, right next to 63 City Road. So there's a bit of a streetscape anomaly there, where one unprotected building is going to be protected with its facade kept, and the other one isn't, purely on the whims of the developers of the different sites, which is unfortunate. I guess the point of 107 Queensbury Street was already raised. That's just the building there, the five-storey Victorian warehouse, which has recently sold to developers. So we do hope that that review happens before a proposal comes in and possibly removes the possibility of protecting that. So I would like to see maybe a clarification in the documents there that the address listed is matched with the map, because there's a bit of a discrepancy where you're saying that you are going to heritage list this building in the documents but not actually on the physical map that's shown of the heritage overlay. So can I just go to the next slide, please? So as you see there, heritage is dwindling in South Bank, and I think besides the heritage issues, it's important that we move forward with amendments like this to protect what we're trying to do to improve the streetscapes and the amenity of this area. As you can see there, Faulkner Street before and after, you lose these character warehouses for car park podiums, probably not the best for local residents there. It could have been a better option. And also Hancock Street, a charming little 1940s warehouse, which is going to be knocked down again for a car park podium, where perhaps that could have been a childcare centre or a cafe or all sorts of interesting things for the community. So it's important to, while we have development in South Bank and we, you know, increase its population for the City of Melbourne, you know, wider, that we also protect these small sites that are real assets for the community, and heritage is a big part of that. So thank you, and yeah, hope to see the wider review of South Bank and Fisherman's Bend come to council soon. Thanks.
Thank you. Any councillors have questions for the submitter? No, thank you. I now call on Janet Bolitho to address the committee. Oh no, Janet does not want to do that at this stage. That's fine. We've come to the end of the list of submitters then. I will move the recommendation from management as a motion, and I call on a seconder for that motion. Thank you, Councillor Caiafa. I agree with much of the sentiment of the submissions that this is long overdue. I'm delighted that we are now in a position to progress stage one of the South Bank and Fisherman's Bend heritage study, though. It's been a while now since I commissioned the report, but it's delightful that we are here at this point, and I thank our officers for bringing this to us and Biosis for their work in as the consultants for preparing this work for us. The document's a fascinating read, as all of our heritage planning scheme amendment proposals are. I've learnt a lot over the last few days reading it, as I'm sure many of us have. And look, there is no time to waste, as our submitters have said. It's not just the buildings that are mentioned in the report that we're seeking permanent but not interim controls over that are at risk, but there have been other buildings that have been lost in the last few years, the last 10 years in particular, that have been graded but have not been in heritage overlays. This report deals with the C or higher buildings. I'm sure that stage two will be doing a more comprehensive review, and we certainly get the message from all of those who have been lobbying us here today and more broadly that this work is urgent and significant. My last wish, but I know that we can't do too much about it, is I wish we could get rid of that billboard on top of the Castlemaine Brewery. We can't. This was one of the first things I investigated 4 years ago when I joined council in the previous term. If only we had the power to do that, but we don't. Councillor Caiafa, would you like to contribute to the debate? Any other councillors wish to contribute? Lord Mayor.
Just to say, look, I'm delighted to support this, and I take it from our submitters that, yes, you can always go faster and do more, but I think the fact that we are all supporting something which is unusual for us, supporting interim heritage controls, is not something that's normally done here, and that's a recognition of the urgency, and credit to Councillor Leppard for bringing this forward. I would also say, though, despite the, you know, some of the yes but stuff from our submitters, we are very cognizant of the changing nature of South Bank. In my time, both in Parliament and here, I can well remember South Bank going from an industrial warehouse kind of wasteland to now our most densely populated postcode, and how there is a lag in bringing forward the community things that need to be done in order to retrofit that very now dense postcode. And I would point to the work that we have foreshadowed both on City Road, now a road which is probably past its use-by date as an industrial thoroughfare and is very much part of a community, and our work on South Bank Boulevard to green that boulevard. And not least, when we talk about heritage, I would also point to the work that we've done at Boyd, which took a derelict building, which may well have been in danger because of the value of that block of land, of being knocked over. And council back in 2008, 2009, took the step of not just purchasing it, but I think restoring Boyd in a way which has made it an absolute jewel in the South Bank precinct. So while we can always do more and perhaps do it faster, I think we are very cognizant of the priorities and the issues that residents and businesses quite properly raise with us about making sure that South Bank becomes a vibrant residential community as it leaves behind that industrial past, but nevertheless protects the memory of that industrial past for the future as well.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Any other councillors wish to contribute? Councillor Watts?
Simply to say that it's absolutely true. We are going as fast as we can, but it won't be fast enough. But I would like to acknowledge the work that the community organisations do. We've got three here tonight, the National Trust, the Art Deco Association and MHA. The work that you people do is invaluable and supports the work of our council, and I'm appreciative of the efforts.
Thank you, Councillor Watts. Any other councillors wish to contribute? No, in that case, the debate is closed and I'll put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare that carried unanimously. Please call Councillors Oak and Rees back, and while they're coming back in, I will call on Deputy Lord Mayor Aaron Wood to assume the role of Chair of the meeting in relation to the Finance and Governance portfolio.
Thanks, Councillor Leppett. There are three reports from management for consideration under the Finance and Governance portfolio. The first one is Agenda Item 6.2, the 2016-17 second quarter December 2016 year-to-date financial performance report. And I'd like to call on our CFO, Fu Nguyen, to give us a short, brief presentation.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor, and good evening, Lord Mayor and councillors. The purpose of this report is to consider and present to the committee the financial performance of the council for the quarter ending 31st December 2016, in accordance with the requirements under the Local Government Act, and also for us to advise you of the supplementary valuations adopted by the CEO under delegation. As detailed in the report, the council's had a very strong first 6 months to the year. At the end of December, we're showing an underlying surplus that's ahead of budget by around $6.5 million. Having said that, there are some timing differences within that result, and after removing the timing differences, I expect we'll actually land on a full-year result in line with our full-year budget, an underlying surplus of $12.2 million. If you go into the detail of the report, you'll see on the revenue side, we've had some high revenue, in particular around rates, but also in particular open space contributions, which is significantly ahead of where we thought we'd be in terms of the budget. In terms of parking-related revenue, you'll see that we have higher parking fees being collected, but that's been largely offset by lower parking fines overall. On the expenditure side, we are modestly underspent at this stage of the year, but between now and the remaining 5 months of the year, I expect a pickup in pace in terms of service delivery and programs to the community that will see us deliver a result in line with the budget. Thank you, councillors.
Thanks, Fu. Any questions for Fu? Thanks, Fu. I'm happy to move a slightly amended motion where we say resolves not to refer any matters to the Audit Committee. And with that, I call on a seconder. Councillor Oak. Thanks, Fu. You've covered it very well, as you always do. So less fines, more people doing the right thing, easier ways to pay as well, and greater parking fees, but something that we'll need to keep an eye on into the future. Interestingly enough, that development activity continues, and developer contributions are well up due to open space contributions largely. Interesting read on page 19, four big ones, all either over $1 million or just under $1 million in terms of contribution. Two of those in South Bank and two of those in the CBD, so quite large developments. Borrowing costs are down due to using our own cash, so in terms of the ANZ facility there hasn't been as much reliance on that, but overall a healthy budget position, and happy to accept the quarterly report. Councillor Oak, nothing to add. Any other speakers? No, if not, I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, I declare that carried unanimously. Next agenda item is agenda item 6.3, the allocation of the discretionary funds second quarter 2016-17. Would councillors like a presentation? No. If not, I'm happy to move the recommendation on screen and call for a seconder. Lord Mayor, we're simply noting where this money was expended, and I'm happy to note that report on the allocation of the discretionary funds, but also note the discipline with which we are managing that discretionary fund at the moment. So you can see that we are, with not too much of the year to go, we still have considerable funds unspent in that, which is probably the way it should be. Lord Mayor. I'll put that to the vote. If there's no other speakers, all those in favour, I declare that carried unanimously. Agenda item 6.4 is the 2016 Melbourne City Council election report. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? No. If not, I call on a councillor to move a motion.
Chair, can I move a slightly different motion? I move that motion.
And I call on a councillor to second that motion. Councillor Kaiafa. Councillor Leppert.
Thank you, Chair. This motion notes the election report, as we're being recommended to do by management, but it also notes with significant concern the falling rate of voter turnout. Again, our voter turnout rate is down compared to previous elections. So this motion calls on our CEO to write to the local government minister to request further investigation into measures that will help ameliorate this for future elections. No matter what the VC tries within the existing legislative framework, the voter turnout rate seems to drop, and we need to do something about that. We're down now to 55.7%, and that is far too low. Very interestingly, page 66 of the VEC report now sets out the difference between the residential roll and the non-residential roll. And as we all, you know, guess, the residential roll turnout is higher than the non-residential roll. I would like the state government to give serious consideration to measures that can be taken to improve the turnout on both rolls. Some ideas that I think should be pursued are extending the voting period by at least a week. I believe that we're also seeing a bit of a decline in Australia Post standards, but of course we don't have any data to back that up at the moment. I also think that there's a lot of confusion with voters learning that election day is Saturday, but your votes need to be in by the day before. That is very counterintuitive. I'd personally like to see voters who didn't receive a ballot paper in the post for whatever reason being given the opportunity to vote in person on election day proper. And I'd also like to see new strategies for advertising, because no matter what we try, some of those, particularly the old media advertisement methods, aren't reaching key demographics and aren't reaching certain classes of voters. So we need to keep this lobbying effort high so that the local government minister is doing everything that she can to improve voter turnout, because the current situation shows that far too many of our constituents are disenfranchised.
Thanks, Councillor Leppert. Councillor Kaiafa?
Thank you, Councillor Leppert. I think you've covered it all. I've got no further to say on this matter.
Beautifully said, Councillor Kaiafa. Any speakers against? Any other speakers for? Councillor Rees?
Yes, thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Yeah, I'd just like to speak in favour of the motion as well, and in particular note that the motion specifies factors specific to the City of Melbourne. I think that is quite important. we all want to see as many people who are entitled to vote. And in this city, we do have a large number of non-residential voters who are non-residents. We have a very large international student population. We also have an ethnically diverse population. We have a lot of folks who live in apartment towers, and businesses as well, of course, get a vote. So there are a number of circumstances which make the City of Melbourne different and exceptional and very special, and I think it's good that those special factors will be taken into account as part of this motion.
Thanks, Councillor Rees. Lord Mayor.
Thank you. I'm also delighted to support this, including the amendment. I think, without looking at it, I do support Councillor Lippitt's suggestion that extending voting by a week might be a good thing. That means that people would get their voting papers earlier and therefore have longer to get them in. That seems to me to be a good suggestion. I note that, given that this year votes were counted after the so-called election day for that statutory period, it wasn't actually overseas voters or people that you might think would be delayed by post who got them in. It was actually people who just voted very late. Overseas voters were actually counted early, and it was a minuscule proportion who were counted in that post-election day period. So that's something about the people who are here but are not voting early enough. So that extending voting might be the answer to that. I wouldn't be supportive of introducing attendance voting by stealth, that is, people thinking, I don't need to worry about my postal vote, I'll just turn up on election day and, you know, essentially vote by attendance voting, but just put it in an envelope rather than just put it in by itself. I wouldn't be a supporter of that, because I think it does need to be a postal vote, as is the vast majority of voting in local government elections here. I'd certainly be very interested in those factors specific to the City of Melbourne. And, you know, in a two-horse race, always back self-interest, because you know they're trying. And it is the business vote, which is actually down comparative to the residential vote. And therefore, anything that we can do to encourage businesses not to put that off until the last moment or forget about it, but the vast majority of them, of course, are not perhaps focused in the same way on their local government election as they would be in a state or federal election. So anything that we can do to increase the business vote, I think, would be an excellent thing for the City of Melbourne's situation. But overall, I note that I think that 1.2 is a very constructive addition to noting the election report by the VEC.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Any other speakers to this? Councillor Watts.
Thank you. I too note that we are receiving this report, but with less enthusiasm than some of my colleagues. I've had a close reading of it, and I find much in this report which is troubling to me. And I alert the constituents who too care about improving the system we have, which seems to be proving to be very unattractive to so many of our eligible voters. I note that on page 8 of this report, we are invited to provide further feedback to the VEC. Now, the VEC isn't, of course, totally responsible for any issues that have emerged as problematic, but they are open to certainly justified criticism. So I would urge people to read the document closely, have a look at the inconsistencies in the statistics that are offered, have a look at the matter of the way the ballot order is allocated compared to other the AEC, for example. There is much to reflect on in this, and a lot of it, as I've said, is troubling to me. So I will be writing, and I encourage other constituents who have an interest in these very important matters of the way in which our democracy plays out in this very flawed system.
Any other speakers to this item? Councillor Leppert, do you want to close?
No.
I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? I declare that carried unanimously, and I hand back to the Lord Mayor, Rob Doyle, to assume the chair for the remainder of the meeting.
There is one item of general business to be considered, and that is a notice of motion from Councillor Leppert. I would note, though, that I have an indirect interest under 78A, that is the financial interest as a private donor to our Team Doyle campaign, also happens in a different part of his life to be a director of Crown Limited, which is the subject of the motion, and therefore I'll declare that conflict of interest and absent myself from the vote.
Indirect interest under 78A, a donor to the campaign, exactly the same as the Lord Mayor.
I also declare a conflict for the same reason. Thank you.
Yes, I must excuse myself under 78A as well.
I likewise will excuse myself under 78A also. Thank you.
My name is Martin Cutter and I'm the Acting Chief Executive Officer. Due to the number of councillors who have declared a conflict of interest in this matter, the required quorum for this meeting has been lost. In light of the decision by the State Government to approve the Planning Scheme Amendment for 1 Queensbridge Street, and consistent with how we treat ministerial planning matters, I will ask the Administration to review the approved development permitted by the amendment against the requirements of the planning scheme prior to the changes being introduced and publish this on the Council's website within 2 weeks of the gazettal of the amendment.
Thank you. This concludes the items of general business for consideration. Are there any items of proposed urgent business? In that case, again, we provide a 15-minute period at the end of each meeting for members of the public to ask questions. Questions should not be greater than 90 seconds in duration. Would anyone like to ask us a question? Yes, Shane.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. My question is to Councillor Wood. Councillor Wood, on the amendment you made to 6.2, you resolved that the committee would not refer any matters to the audit committee. You didn't explain why. Could you tell me?
I don't need to explain why. There was no matters to refer to the audit committee. We had our audit and risk committee, and there was no matters to refer
so
to that committee.
So it's not a general thing?
No, it's a standard practice. Okay.
Can I also ask the CEO what the practical effect is of what he said about the publishing of the matter 2 weeks after the gazettal? I didn't quite catch what that means.
That's for item 7.1?
Correct.
Yeah. Martin, you want to reiterate what you said?
I think from the practical application of that is to for me to have a position put on the council website. You can determine it's consistent with the resolution of, that was proposed in the notice of motion, but it's a management decision.
So would it be the delegate report that we would have seen tonight?
It will be a report. It will be a document that we produce, which actually does effectively what was done. In regards to that, yes.
Right. And why wait till then?
As I made the statement that obviously the amended plans need to be gazetted by through normal process, and it would be appropriate to comment on those after it has been gazetted.
Thanks.
Thank you. Any further questions for us? In that case, could I thank members of the public, management and staff for their interest and declare the meeting closed at 6:09 p.m.